It is good to see everybody out this morning. And we have a good crowd. Our numbers may be down, but we still have a good crowd. And so we appreciate everybody being here. And I've been preaching about the last week of life of Jesus. And we had gotten to the last part of that week, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. That's going to be for the next two lessons. But I want us to go to the passage we had read for us a few minutes ago in the Luke 12th chapter. We are very aware of the fact of division. We see it so much in our society. We see it politically. We see it religiously, that if you've ever lived through a division, you understand how heartbreaking, how troublesome that can be. Have you ever seen that as far as a family member, where a family falls apart? Maybe there's a divorce, or maybe there's a case where children no longer talk to their parents, or other type of family type situations where people can no longer get along. You understand how hurtful that can be. If you ever been in a situation where brethren, where people you used to worship with, and you used to sing together with and pray together, and you laugh together and you cry together, but now that's no longer possible. And you know how hard that is. And as you look at it, we realize that a lot of times that division occurs because of things like attitudes that changes. Maybe instead of giving the other person the benefit of the doubt, maybe there's times that you really already are very suspicious of one another. It may be a case where you no longer laugh together. Generally, I found that whenever people quit kidding or joking with you, then you're in trouble. Because joking and laughing tends to be a sign of liking each other. And have you ever been in a situation of actions? Maybe sometimes those actions can become hurtful and words are said that should not be said. And it's ironic because Jesus had talked about the fact of wanting unity among his people. When you go and you read John 17 chapter verse 20 and 21, and you find there Jesus as he prayed and talked about the fact he wanted his believers to be one as he and the Father are one. That the world may believe that you sent me, Jesus said. And so we would think that Jesus then would talk always about the fact of unity. But the fact is, Jesus talked about division in this passage that we have for us. As you look at that passage, you may think, well, why is it going to occur? Why would we have division? And as you read through this passage, he talked about the fact of the fire that's kindled. In verse 49, came to send fire in the earth and how I wish were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how stress I am till it is accomplished. Now there he's talking about the fact that the baptism of his death, the suffering that he was going to incur, is what he's referred to there. But he goes on and he talks about the fact, he said, do you suppose I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, not at all, but rather division. Now it's not the fact that before Christ came that everybody's unified, that people were getting along together and there was never any kind of religious division, because we know that was the truth. The Jews and Gentiles were divided, and even among their own groups, that Jews were divided with other Jews and Gentiles were divided from other Gentiles. But Jesus pointed out that the reason that this division is going to be because of him. And he says here that he be the source of this division in this passage. And again, as you look here, you think about the fact that he's going to divide families, he said, that as he talks about this, from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father be divided against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter-in-law against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He basically goes about to describe almost any type of situation possible inside that family. And we realize that in the first century that happened. And that is, there were certain Jews, families that were divided because some accepted Christ and others did not. We have a whole letter, the Hebrew letter, talking about those who, again, had obeyed the gospel, but going back into Judaism, and a lot of it's because they were discouraged because of the family relationships that they were no longer existed or that they were suffering from. And what today we look at and realize that there are times you see families and there's division among those where maybe the parents believe something different than their parents. And so you just look at this and realize that Jesus is the source of the reason of that division. And so that will occur. And so we have to understand that's a fact he points out to us. But then also we find there's other scriptures talking about other divisions. If you look over 1 Peter 4 verse 3 and start there, it says, for the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised we did not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. And who's it talking about? What's it talking about there? It's talking about division that's going to occur among friends. They have Christians, again, in the first century, have people that, and I can see this more in the Gentiles, perhaps than the Jews, but actually Gentiles that used to go to the temples, maybe at Corinth or at Ephesus and Temple of Diana there, and they go in and they would party it up and they would get involved in all things mentioned there in 1 Peter 4. And then after they obey the gospel, they no longer go to those places, and their friends would wonder why. Why can't you go in with us? Why can't you partake of the same things? You used to be one of the first ones there to have the good time. Now, what's wrong with you now? Just like today. Today, if you're a Christian and maybe you have obeyed the gospel and your friends kind of look at you kind of strange because you don't use the same kind of language you used to use because maybe you don't dress exactly the same you used to. Or maybe you don't go to the bar after work and drink with them, or you don't get involved in all the other things you're so used to being involved in. They may look at you and they may think, Ben, that's really bad. And they will have either, some of them may decide, we're going to test you. And we're going to try to get you to say something you shouldn't say. Or we're going to try to get you to go with some place you shouldn't go. We're going to try to get you to do something you shouldn't do. And we're going to see how far we can push you with peer pressure and making fun of you to see if you'll cave in. And so they may start trying to test you. Others may try to simply say that excluding you. And that if you're going to be that way, we won't hang around with you. You can't be our friends. You're going to do everything that we're doing. And so they may start excluding you. And we see that sometimes Christians have to realize, okay, my first priority is follow Christ. And if it means I can't hang out with my friends like I used to have, then that's the price you may have to pay for this. I'm aware of a family that had a wedding not too long ago. They sent out invitations, and the invitations that specified, and they told people that had received those that at the wedding they weren't going to have alcohol beverages. They weren't going to have any kind of beer, and they wanted people to watch their language, and kind of a rough crowd one of these people came from. And so they kind of told them, we want you to watch your language, we want you to dress appropriately. And a lot of the people that received those invitations says, we can't party it up, and we can't have our beer. If we have to go by these rules, we won't come. And that person, they had about half the people not show up. And along just as we said, that's not real, you know, that's the reason, because we couldn't have the party we wanted to have. And sometimes, Christians today, you may have friends that'll be like that. They're going to be divided because you're following after Christ and they're not. Or maybe a case of our 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. I hear Church Corinth, he says, Acts report there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that's not tolerated even among pagans, where a man has fallen his wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. And then notice verse 13 says, God judges those outside, purge the evil from among you. And here at Church Corinth, obviously what they had was they said here that they had a Christian, but he's living in an immoral society or living in an immoral relationship that was so bad even the immoral society founded upon it. And tells him what to do about that. But he realized what he's saying here is that here's a brother that's in sin, and that person's not going to repent of their sin. And he says there's going to be division about that. Now, all of us sin against God, and all of us need the prayers of each other. But there's times that people get involved in things, and they go and talk to them, they go try to reason with them, and that person refuses to change their lifestyle. Now, some of what we talked about this morning, there at Church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3rd chapter. And that is that you have some that's not walking according to the traditions of the apostles, according to God's word. And when that happens, then there's going to be times, the Bible just simply says, some's going to go back out in the world. And so you don't have times where you're going to have division among brethren because of the cause of Christ. Some are following him and some won't. But then also we look at it and we find there's divisions the Bible talks about in other areas. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. And there he says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, going on verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, who were these guys right here he's talking about? Well, these were men who were teachers inside the church. These were men who actually had a part as far as the growth of the church one time, and they were teachers in it. And the Bible says, again, that we're to be unified in our teaching. That if you teach, if I teach what the Bible says and you teach what the Bible says, then, you know, we're not going to have a problem. But the problem occurs whenever somebody decides, I'm going to start teaching something else. And maybe it's a teaching of what I want or what I think it should say. And they start teaching a different gospel the Bible talks about. And so we have sometimes, and just like today, I have various men that I have known in my life that today are no longer faithful Christians, no longer faithful teachers, because they have grabbed on to some other doctrine than what the Bible says. And because, again, there's division. Some are following Christ and some are not. But then also the Bible says there's division. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. And there he said, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians have gone to Galatia, Titus, to Dalmatia. And this is kind of Paul's way of saying, I'm all by myself right here. But again, when you read this here, you may think of, who's this idea of Demas? Who is this guy? Well, you look at it, you realize that some of these folks were workers inside the church. These people that did things. And you read and you find there's a lot of the names Paul mentions. You think about Romans 16th chapter. I forgot how many names. I think it's like 28 names in that chapter. Maybe a few more than that. And Paul mentions those people by name. And these were people that were active members of the body of Christ, working to do what God said to do. And yet, there were some who quit working. There were some who grow cold in their work and drifted away. Just like today. I'm sure you can recall people that used to be very active inside the Lord's body, whether teaching Bible classes or song leaders or preaching or somebody going out and showing benevolence to other needy saints. But today are no longer doing those things because they got discouraged, they quit. And so we have some division because of workers that some are following Christ and some decide to quit. But then also you look and you find in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, and there verse 19, he said, there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine, now the New American Standard says approved, among you may be recognized. And this is one of those passages you start thinking about. Paul talked about the unity of the church and how the church as a body and all the members are to work together, and the hand, the eye, and the foot. And Paul made that illustration to the church of Corinth. And yet he says here that there's going to be division. Notice that he says that there must be factions. Hey, stop thinking about that. And what he's saying it to us is that divisions will always occur. And this can sometimes be kind of discouraging because you think about the fact of division in the first century. And that time period Paul's writing about, and we understand division occurred, first of all, over Judaism. And that is, you had some that obeyed the gospel, but they wanted to bring in the law of Moses and combine the law of Christ. And so they had to handle that. And some people would accept the fact they had to get rid of the law of Moses and no longer go by, but others would not. And so there was division among those. But then not only that, but also a little bit later on, division occurred over the teaching of agnosticism. And the idea that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that Jesus we know on earth was not the Son of God. And so there's division over that. Again, some accept the fact that he was the Son of God and Son of Man. Others did not accept that. But you know, once you get past that part of division, it didn't end right there. And that is, you have faithful Christians. But after a little while, what was the division about then? Well, it was about the organization of the church. And as you start reading about the early church history, you find that congregations had elders, and each one of the elders were its equal. Well, eventually, it started elevating one of the elders above the other elders. And they started getting a special title, and they said the word bishop. Now, bishop refers to those who are elders as superintendents, but they started using it as a separate, distinct title to elevate that person over the other elders. And then after a little while, they started elevating one bishop over the other bishops. And so they made a distinction between what they called county bishops and city bishops. And eventually that led to a whole new church, a whole new organization. But there are still faithful Christians that did not go along with that. But then you go ahead and skip along, let's just say, a number of years, about 1,000 years later on, there are people saying, you know, the organization of the Catholic Church is not right and the teaching is not right, so we're going to get rid of that. So we're going to, and started creating denominations. Well, they still were faithful Christians, but they weren't part of the denominations either. And then eventually the faithful Christians, they had division in this country over things like the piano and missionary society. And what my point is that you've always had those who stayed by the word of God, but later on, maybe the next generation and the generation after that, another issue come along, and there again would be a test, and some would hold true to the word of God and some would not. And there'd be division among those. In our generation, there'd be division over things like the sponsoring church arrangement, the social gospel. And those kind of things have been the divisions. And even more recently, over the marriage divorce situation. And when sometimes we look at that thing, man, we're not doing it right. Well, what's wrong is, see, the problem is some will do what Christ says and some will not. He's the source of that division. And so we look at this here and realize that we have division today. He said, that's what's going to happen. And so we look at this here, and so the point is that Christ then is the stumbling block. A passage we're all familiar with in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter. And there in verse 23, he said, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. The thing about their concept of the Messiah. And you know, the problem was, in the first century was, the Messiah to the Jews was not the Messiah they looked forward to. The Jews before the birth of Jesus, they looked forward to a great king, they looked forward to a great military leader, they looked forward to a second coming of King David. And Jesus being that kind of person, Jesus had come in and said, been a great military leader and said, we're going to overthrow the power of the Roman government. There have been people that were following after him. But he wasn't that kind of Messiah. And therefore, some would not follow him. Just like today. And there are people today that has this concept about Jesus. And